Very good afternoon, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many years ago, when I was a new Christian, there was a speaker from New Zealand who came to my previous church, and then he preached to us that the Ten Commandments were obsolete. We do not need the Ten Commandments anymore because they are done away with. They have been abrogated, according to him. And that was great liberty. Then later on, I realized that he was known as an antinomian, against the law. He doesn't believe that the Ten Commandments should apply in today's church. And to them, therefore, such a teaching such as the Sabbath is for man is meaningless. They are the other extreme, whereby they follow the Sabbath day the way that it was meant to be kept in the Old Testament. They are very particular about the time it begins. They will follow it from Friday 6 p.m. to Saturday 6 p.m. And they will follow this rigidly. They are called the Seventh-day Adventist. What is the biblical understanding of the Sabbath day? The Sabbath day to us has now been changed to the Lord's Day. The reason why we do not follow the Friday 6 p.m. to Saturday 6 p.m. is because our world is based upon the solar calendar rather than the lunar calendar. Furthermore, in the book of Acts, the day that the people of God gathered together in the church shifted to the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, which is to us known as the Sunday. Although the day has changed from Friday 6 p.m. to Saturday 6 p.m. to the Sunday, the principle behind the observance of the Lord's Day remains. And so this afternoon, we are going to look at the principle. The day itself is the Lord's Day, Sunday. In some countries, in Malaysia, for example, in certain states, where the government has changed the weekend from Saturday, Sunday to Friday, Saturday. And Sunday is the day where they go to work. And in that kind of situation, we do not insist that the church must be on a Sunday, where people must take leave. We will change it. According to the church itself, they can decide whether they want to meet on a Friday or on a Saturday. The day itself is not so much a significant as the principle on how to keep that day correctly. In countries like Singapore, where the Sunday is a public holiday, it's a weekend, then by all means, we will not want to change our day of worship to another day other than Sunday. But in countries where they do not have Sunday as a weekend, then we will have to adjust as a church. However, regardless of which day it is, the principle must be based upon what the Bible has taught us, and we must understand how great a blessing the Sabbath day is. So when we use the word Sabbath day, because the text here talks about the Sabbath day, please in your mind, we are not talking about the day itself, but the principle that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to teach us this afternoon. First thing to bear in mind is, from verse 23 to verse 24 of Mark 2, the Sabbath day that is to be rejected. There was a distortion of the keeping of the Sabbath day in the time of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus Christ was ministering, they came to a cornfield. And as they walked through the cornfield, it was on the Sabbath day. And the disciples were hungry. They went to the cornfield and then to pluck the ears of corn. Now, in Israel, it was part of the law of God given in the days of Moses that if you are a farmer, you have a piece of land. Let's say the piece of land is rectangular or squarish in shape. you are allowed to do your harvesting that is your land, but you must only follow the harvesting method as prescribed by God. And the method was this. You are not allowed to touch the four corners of your field where you have either your grapes or your corn or your wheat, whatever crops you are planting. The four corners are not to be touched. Second rule, you are allowed to go through your harvesting once. You're not supposed to backtrack and pick up whatever that you have left behind. That is not pluck. The reason is this. There will be the poor people in society. They would be the beggars. They would be the widows or the widowers. Widows such as Naomi and Ruth. The law of God provided them this free will whereby they can go to any field in the land of promise and pluck whatever they want to eat. After the owner had gone through it once, leaving the four corners. For these poor people to work for a living, because the act of going there to pluck is work in itself. And so what the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ did was very, very legal. That is the point. What they did was a very, very legal provision that God Himself had given to them. You don't have to be a beggar, you don't have to be a poor person to do this. As long as you are from another country, another part of the promised land. Let's say you stay up in Galilee and now you're visiting Jerusalem. And so you walk by all these fields that are in another part of Israel, not Galilee, not where your own property is. You can just go there and pluck and eat. Just as if you are back in your own country, in your own part of the land of promise, and then there are strangers who will come, they will do the same in your farm. All right, so this is provided by the law of God for the people. And so what the disciples of Jesus Christ did, albeit on the Sabbath day, what they did, the law itself provided such an act. And then the Pharisees said unto Jesus, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Now, why did your disciples do something that is forbidden in the Sabbath day? Now, the Pharisees, based upon their oral traditions for many, many decades, had turned this Sabbath day into a very suffocating, legalistic manner of life. For example, on the Sabbath day, the moment it begins, and they are very, very strict with the beginning and the end of it, and to them, of course, it will be 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday. That's how they count their day. The moment it kicks in, it becomes very legalistic and very rigid. If you are a tailor, and then you forgot to take your needle out of your garment while you are doing, let's say, doing your tailoring work and so on, you may, for convenience sakes, just put your needle onto your sleeve, onto your shoulder of your garment, and then you go and do your work and so on. And then you forgot that there was a needle on your garment. And then you walk out of the house. And then if a Pharisee saw you, and then he saw this needle on your garment that you have forgotten to take off, you will be charged for breaking the Sabbath. Because it is your job. You're a tailor. You're not supposed to carry on your body any equipment pertaining to your tailoring. That's how strict it is. The distance that you travel from point A to point B, beyond that, 1,000 yards. 3,000 cubits. That is the guideline that is found in the Old Testament. They came up with their own. And as long as you follow, it's fine. The moment you walk beyond that, it is called breaking the Sabbath. So that's why when they design their toilet, this is all the limit. If your house and your toilet is beyond that distance, on the Sabbath day, you're not allowed to go to the toilet. You break the Sabbath. So your toilet must be built within that distance. If you plan to go toilet on a Sabbath day, I mean, if your equipment works well, then Sunday doesn't, it's okay. Then you can hold the whole day. But if your equipment is not so good, especially as you go older, you know your equipment, the factory inside not so good, right? And so you better stay in a house where your toilet is within the distance, or else if a Pharisee walked by, you get into trouble. Now this was how the Sabbath day was kept. And the children of Israel were taught by their parents. Since they were young, the disciples of Christ were taught, this is how you must keep the Sabbath day, because the Pharisees to them were supposed to be the most spiritual people on planet Earth. They would be used by the Jewish parents as examples for the children to emulate. You want to go to heaven, you follow these people's example. You follow their lifestyle. You watch how they live and how they dress and what they do and how they pray, how they give. You follow their lifestyle and you will go to heaven. That's what they believe, and that was the distortion of the Sabbath day, whereby it has become a list of do's and don'ts. And the policemen for the do's and don'ts would be the Pharisees, the zealots, the people who practice biblical separation. And therefore, you and I, in a church that practices biblical separation, are in danger of turning this Lord's Day or the Sabbath day into something that is legalistic. Liberal churches who don't care much for God's word, they don't have this problem. But people who practice biblical separation can fall into this problem. And that's why this understanding of the Sabbath day must be rejected. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. It was not before, it is not today. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. Let me emphasize this, because there are some churches that will frown on you breaking their list of do's and don'ts. We had a member who was overseas, and then he wanted to go to church on the Lord's Day. And so he went to church. As he walked into the church, everybody stared at him. Then he walked further in, they continued to follow him with their eyes. And some of them, then he looked at himself. He thought something, maybe your zipper or maybe your. Everything was fine. He dressed nicely. I mean, he there was no hole in his shirt or anything. What was the problem? He tucked under his armpit newspaper. Not supposed to buy newspaper. He did not know he's not supposed to buy newspaper. That church believes that you're not supposed to read newspaper on Sunday. He's supposed to read only the Bible. And so he walked into the church with a newspaper. Then he realized. So there are such churches. There are some who believe that you are not allowed to buy lunch outside on the Sabbath day, nor dinner. How many of you ate out today? How many of you took public transport? You know why you're not allowed to? Because by taking your bus, the bus driver is working. He is not a Christian. He has broken God's Sabbath day law by working on Sunday. And when you take their bus driven by him, you are now encouraging him to break the Sabbath day by driving the bus. Therefore, cannot take bus, cannot take taxi, cannot take MRT unless the MRT is motorized, computerized. No driver in front. Any driver in front? Yes. So cannot take also. So how do you come to church? I don't know. That's your problem. Somehow or other, you must do everything by Saturday. So maybe, since this is not your church, maybe you can put a tent somewhere and sleep nearby. I mean, that's the only way. Otherwise, how are you going to come to church on Sunday? Right? You cannot take any public transport. Or maybe you can drive. Okay, buy a car, get a car. All right, buy a car, then you can. Because when you drive, you're not working, right? Nobody pays you, right? It's not a taxi, right? So, okay, fine. To get a car, well, it's expensive. So this is what I mean by the do's and don'ts. And there are some churches, I'm not kidding, there are some churches who do this. There was an FEBC graduate who was from a BP church. He came to our young people's fellowship and preached something about the Sabbath day. And then they asked him questions, and he said that it is a sin to buy lunch on Sunday. And then this was told to me by the chairman, by the president of the YF. And so I called him up because he knew that we buy lunch on Sunday. 300-400 of us eat lunch on Sunday. And so I called him and I talked to him over the phone. And I said, you know our position. You are our guest speaker to the young people. If they asked you that question, you needed to just simply tell them to talk to the pastor and that would be it. But by what you have done, you have just sown a seed of discord. But I only presented my personal view. I said, when you become a pastor, the pastor's personal conviction will become the conviction of the church because he's going to preach from it from the pulpit. No, no, it will never be. I said, you watch and you wait and you see. His argument was exactly what I have portrayed to you. And so he said, when I asked him, based upon your reasoning, we cannot buy lunch because these people opened the store and they broke the Sabbath day. If we buy from them, then we are encouraging them to break the Sabbath and therefore we also have sin. And since that is the case, then we cannot buy lunch. All right, using your logic, then what about taking bus? Cannot take bus. What about MRT? Cannot take MRT. What about taxi? Cannot take taxi. Then how do people go to church? They stay overnight. That time he was in a church whereby they had a church building. So I'm not kidding. He stayed overnight. I say, please don't talk rubbish just to win an argument. You are not making sense. And so after he graduated from FEBC, he left his own church and he started his own church. And lo and behold, no church building this time. So they rented at first. Now they have their own building. Not a big church building, just a building, I was told. At first, they used an auditorium in a hotel. So is he going to get his members to book into a room in a hotel every Saturday night? They're going to go bankrupt. But hotel, of course, will love it, right? I mean, every Saturday, you're going to have 500 or 100 guests staying in your room. Why not? For 52 weeks a year, that's not a bad deal. Of course, that never happened. And then I heard, he now told his congregation, you can take bus, but cannot take taxi. Bus would be act of mercy. Now you see, now he changed. Otherwise, you will have no members coming to church because they're not going to come and they're going to spend money and stay overnight. That is the problem when you become legalistic. You come with a list of do's and don'ts. Problem number one, who decides what's on the list? Who decides what's on the list? The pastor? You want to put yourself in a position where you become like the Pope? You're going to control everybody's lives, what you can and cannot do. And so anybody who comes and asks you a question, Pastor, can I do this? Can I do that on the Sabbath day? What, you're going to sit there, you're going to answer all their questions? Is that what you plan to do? You're going to be the one, the man who knows it all. And the people ask you, why? Why? Acts of mercy. So what do you, and how do you decide what's acts of mercy? You want to put yourself in that position whereby you are the only man who can decide what's on the list of do's and don'ts to be applied on the Sabbath day? That was exactly what happened in the time of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus had to correct. And so this is the wrong understanding of Sabbath that must be rejected. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. Please. Because once that list comes out, you're going to have a headache the size of the whole earth. You're going to have a headache because no way are you going to have a list that you can biblically justify. And the people are going to quarrel to no end concerning this list. And you're going to have husband quarreling with the wife quarreling with the husband, parents quarreling with the children, because you're going to find them all debating what should and what should not be on the list. If you do not believe, you try. Of course, he's going to kill me. Your elder is going to kill me. You try. He's going to have a big headache because you're going to go to him. And then he's going to tell you. What is he going to tell you? What's he going to tell you? You're going to challenge your reason? I don't know. I just say only. That's all he can tell you, isn't it? What reason can he give? You must have a biblical understanding of the Sabbath. And that's exactly what Jesus did. For the disciples' sake, those who want to hear, please open your ears and hear. Nobody can force it down your throat. If you want to be legalistic about it, bear in mind the danger, the arrogance, and the pride, and the pitfalls. Because when you are able to follow the list of do's and don'ts like the Pharisees, and they did, you know the problem? They walk around with a nose in the air, looking down on everybody because they are so proud and arrogant that I have obeyed the law since I was a boy. All the externals. And they took pride in that. You're going to do the same because human nature doesn't change. You give them a list of do's and don'ts, and those who have the willpower to obey it very rigidly, you can rest assured they're going to walk around like peacocks with all their colors all displayed. And they're going to look down on people. You want that kind of people in the church, then have a very legalistic application and understanding of the Sabbath day. But if you want people who are God-honoring, Christ-centered, then have a biblical approach toward the Sabbath day. And so the Sabbath day to be observed versus the Sabbath day to be rejected. The Pharisaical, legalistic, reject. The Sabbath day that is to be observed, you find in verses 25 and 26. And Jesus said unto them, have ye never read? Did you not know? Have you never at any time read what David, that is King David, did? And of course, he was not a king then. When he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. So David was a young man. He was fleeing for his life from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. Because God wanted David to be the next king of Israel, and King Saul, the present king of Israel, was upset. He didn't want his dynasty to be terminated by God, because God was about to replace his dynasty with a new dynasty with King David, or the young boy David at the time. And so he was trying his best to kill him, even though David was King Saul's son-in-law, who married King Saul's daughter. And so he fled. And while he was fleeing, more and more of these Jews or Israelites, who were also against the king, they joined David. So David had a gang of people following him, all very much like him, hunted by the king. They, for different reasons, for David it was because of this reason, as the Bible revealed to us. For the others, the Bible didn't say. But they were together. And so when they came to this place, the city, where the priests were located, together with the tabernacle. The high priest at the time was not Abiathar, but the Bible here called Abiathar the high priest because Abiathar was more well known than the existing high priest. And so Abiathar was the priest who escaped, who was not slaughtered by King Saul later on. And so he became the priest for King David subsequently. But he was there at the point in time when this incident occurred. And so when the high priest came and asked David, or they came to ask David for food, David was told by the priest, we have no food except for the showbread. And then the priest said, are you all clean? David and his men were clean in the spiritual sense. They did not have any contact with women, and they were all cleansed, ready or okay to accept, to eat the showbread. But the showbread was very unique. The showbread was bread that was placed inside the holy place. It was to be changed every week on the Sabbath day, where the Levites will bake fresh bread, and on the Sabbath day, they will go in there and take out the old, week-old 12 loaves and replace them with fresh 12 loaves of bread that they had just finished baking. Now, that was what they did every Sabbath day. And this showbread that the week-old showbread was meant to be consumed only by the priests. But here you have David and his men. They were hungry. The priests had no food except the showbread. And the Pharisees, who knew the scriptures, knew of this particular incident where on the Sabbath day, David was given showbread by the priests. Two problems. Number one, it also occurred on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees never took issue because they all highly regarded David, who was the king of Israel later on, the best king Israel ever had. Problem number two, they never took issue also with the fact that David ate showbread that were meant only for the priests on the Sabbath day versus the disciples of Jesus Christ. They rub only a few grains of corn on the Sabbath day, which was legally allowed. The law of God allowed them to do it on the Sabbath day. And now they want to take issue with them. As opposed to David, who did it on the Sabbath day, something that the law did not allow, but they, the Pharisees, accepted. You see how unfair and unkind and legalism has done to a person where he can't even think straight. To somebody that you admire, that you adore, they can bend and break the rules that you have rigidly enforced on yourself and on others, like David. And here you have Jesus' disciples whom they don't like. Now they want to find fault with them. And now they want to complain to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Because there is another passage that talks about the same incident where Jesus said more than what is recorded for us in Mark chapter 2. That is Matthew 12. Okay, Matthew 12. Verse 3. All right, let me read to you. Matthew 12, verse 3. Have ye not read, same, what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for them to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Now, we talk about that already. Now, look at verse 5 of Matthew 12. This was not recorded in Mark 2, but it happened. And have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, plural, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Now, the word profane does not mean that they dirty it, they brought sin into it. What it means is that they were busy working and serving. The Sabbath day basically was the busiest day for men like the priests and the Levites. The baking of the new fresh showbread, a lot of work. They take offerings. They do sacrifices. So that's what Jesus meant when he said the word profane according to them. They broke all the rules. They broke all the laws. They continue to serve the Lord. Ask yourself one simple question. What is the significance of the Sabbath day? That is the key. Now, God is not teaching us to break the showbread law and now give it to everybody. God did not say that. What happened in the time of David and his men was an exception. Please understand that. What is the purpose and significance of the Sabbath day? That is the key. If you understand the biblical significance of the Sabbath day, then the application of it would be properly God-honoring. When you don't understand it, that's where the problem is. Most people who are very legalistic, they think that man was made for the Sabbath day. God created the Sabbath day, so now what do I do with the Sabbath day? Well, okay, now I make man to fit man into the Sabbath day. Now that is legalism. They have forgotten that the Sabbath day was not to be understood from a legalistic perspective because the Sabbath day was made for man by God for man's blessing. Now what exactly is the blessing that you and I are to derive from the Sabbath day? Now, the word Sabbath simply means rest. That's it, rest. In the Bible, you have salvation rest, you have Sabbath day rest, you have eternal rest. Now, these are the three rests that you and I are going to have. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, you have entered into salvation rest. And one day, when the Lord Jesus Christ takes you home, You will enter into eternal rest. But while you are on earth, God has given to us the Sabbath day rest. Now, what exactly is the significance of the Sabbath day rest? The Sabbath day rest, like in the time of the Old Testament and the time of the New Testament, they are for the congregation. The Sabbath day rest is for the 12 tribes. When Israel entered the land of promise, the 12 tribes were given the division of the land to work the land, to do farming, to do shepherding, to whatever they do to draw fruit flowing with milk and honey from the land to keep body and soul together. Because God knows this body of ours depends on the food and the water from the land to survive. The Levites and the priests, they were not given any part of the land to farm, to do shepherding. They were given 48 Levitical cities spread throughout the length and breadth of Israel, and the main purpose for them was to do spiritual work, the work of God. That means to copy the scripture, to study the scripture, and for priests to prepare themselves when they are 30 years old to begin service. And then when they are 50, they retire. After retirement, they become mentor to teach the younger ones, especially the boys, to become men where they will become proper priests. And so in order for them not to be distracted from their spiritual responsibilities to study God's word and to be priests and to teach the word of God to the 12 tribes so that they will know what animals to bring, when to bring, what kind of offerings to bring, these Levites and priests are not to be encumbered and to be distracted by working in the land. The tithes and offerings of the people, the 12 tribes, given by them to God will be received by the Levites and the priests on behalf of God. Because the Bible says the land is the inheritance of the 12 tribes. God will be the inheritance for the priests and the Levites. And so whatever that is given to God by the people, the priests and the Levites will accept and receive on behalf of God for their own consumption. So that they, God knows, you priests, you Levites, you also need food and water to keep body and soul together. So will your families, your wives and your children. I understand. And if you are focused only on studying God's word, doing the work of God, serving in the tabernacle and the temple later on, how are you going to find food for your family? Where are you going to find food on the table? The tithes and offerings of the people, when they work hard in the land, God bless the land, and they will take the crops and give offering 10%. The first fruits give to the priest, the 10% that will be the tithe, give to the Levites. And whatever God gives to them, they give 10%, all will be yours for you to eat. You just focus on spiritual matters. Now that is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for the 12 tribes. Because when they work the land, the danger is you forget that you are a spiritual people. And that's why God says you only work on 6 days. On the seventh day, that is the Sabbath day, for us it's the first day, it's Lord's Day. You stop work. No servile work, no more work where you make money. Now you must lay down your tools and now you serve the Lord. You focus on God that you will never forget that you are a spiritual people. The priests and the Levites, they always do spiritual work. Day one to day seven. First day to the last day. Every time when they study the Bible, it's spiritual. That's why the Sabbath day is not for the Levites. That's why Jesus says they profane the Sabbath. They keep on working, correct? That's why the Levites, they don't rest from their work serving the Lord. The 12 tribes, you are to rest from serving in the land, so that you will remind yourself, you will never forget that you are a spiritual people. You serve, and one day you rest. You serve, one day you will rest. You serve, one day you will rest. For how long? Every week you practice this so that you will not forget. You serve, you rest. You serve, you rest. This is a lesson, a weekly lesson concerning your entire life. You realize that? When you are saved, the moment you are saved, remember you are already fit for heaven. Why are you still on earth? For service. And one day your service will end, and where will you be? Eternal rest. Salvation rest, eternal rest. In between, Sabbath day rest. To remind us that our life is a life of service, and one day we will enter into eternal rest. And that is why the Lord's Day, the principle behind the Lord's Day, is a reminder that we are people of God on our way home to heaven. And when people do not keep the Lord's Day holy, where it is no longer a day of rest, where they cease from all servile work, you can tell by observation that these people are slowly drifting further and further away in their spiritual life, away from Christ. The Bible called this waywardness or backsliding. Keeping the Sabbath day is a reminder to us that we are spiritual people on our way to heaven. We serve the Lord, and one day we enter into eternal rest. That is why those who serve money from Monday to Saturday, it's very hard for them to come to church on Sunday and praise the Lord. But it is so easy when God's people serve the Lord from Monday to Saturday, and then Sunday they come to church, they praise the Lord with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. Because that is what they know their life is. Life of serving the Lord, eternal rest will be mine one day. So every 7 day is a picture, an illustration to remind us that our life here on earth after salvation is a life of serving the Lord, and one day eternal rest awaits us. Now, this is the biblical understanding of the Sabbath day. And by the way, because of this understanding, full-time workers, pastors, no Sabbath day. Okay, please understand, no Sabbath day rest. All right? Don't give them rest, you know. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they don't need rest. Okay? Don't give them rest, huh? No Sabbath year rest also. You know Sabbath year, right? There are some churches, you know, pastor who works in the church, every 6 years, 7th year, they go on a Sabbath year rest, you know, where they can go anywhere in the world, everything paid for. Nice, huh? Nice, isn't it? Some churches, 12 years, 13th year, you go on a Sabbath year rest. Anywhere in the world, all paid for. Whole family can go. Salary paid for, plane tickets paid for, accommodation that paid for. Wow. Nice, huh? Nice. Reason? They give nice reason. Reason will always be this. Okay, the reason is this. You tell me whether it's logical. They want to go there to a seminary somewhere, let's say seminary somewhere, and study the Bible. Okay, basically to study the Bible, 7 day rest to come back to be more refreshed to serve, right? So you must study the Bible somehow, right? Okay, they go there and they study. Now you ask yourself one simple question. If this pastor hasn't been studying the Bible from Monday to Saturday, what makes you think that he's going to study the Bible while he's away? Right? Problem number one, right? If he is lazy, he's a lazy bum. Monday to Saturday, he doesn't study the Bible. What's the point? You send him over there spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. He's not going to study anyway. And if he has been studying the Bible Monday to Saturday, why should he not have to go there and study again? You're already studying already, right? So either way, if you don't study, he's not going to study. If he's been studying, why do you have to go away to study some more? You can study here. Right? So either way, there's no need for Sabbath year rest, no need for Sabbath day rest, no need to rest. Okay, so don't give your full-time worker any rest. The pastor, the full-time worker, no rest, huh, Clement? Seriously, the rest is for all of you. Because he doesn't work he doesn't go to work. If he's working out there, fine. But he's doing God's work. Okay, let's say you ask him to rest, right? Rest from studying the Bible, right? Rest from studying the Bible. Rest from doing God's work. Okay, rest from doing God's work. What do you want him to do? What do you want him to do? You rest from your labor so that you can do God's work, right? He's really doing God's work. You ask him to rest from God's work. Do what? Kind of work. So you want him to go and do what? Go and work in McDonald's? What do you want him to do? What do you want him to do? Seriously, right? Don't study the Bible. Don't rest from studying the Bible. And do what? Seriously, do what? Go and bring your wife. Go to Sentosa. Sit on the beach and sip your lemonade. How big the bottle of lemonade you're going to sip for 24 hours? You're going to sip and sip and sip for 24 hours? Come on, your whole body will be so sour. Right or not? That's why the Sabbath is not for full-time workers. So pastors, full-time workers, no Sabbath. You don't rest from studying the Bible. You don't rest from praying. You don't rest from doing God's work. It's for the congregation. Purpose? Don't forget who you are. You are marching toward heaven. You are on your way to heaven. Monday to Saturday, you are a servant of God. Don't ever forget that, because that is what your whole life is. The moment you are saved, you serve, eternal rest waiting for you. But if you are serving for 40 years on earth, it is so difficult to remind yourself that I'm serving for 40 years and then eternal rest waiting for us. So God made it very easy to remind us. Divide these 40 years from the day you are born again to the day when the Lord calls you, divide it into every week. Right? Divide it into a weekly size. And every week, 6 days you serve the Lord, the Lord's Day, day of rest. 6 days, day of rest. And if you can keep these faithfully week after week, and before you know it, it is 40 years already. Now time for eternal rest. Because resting on earth is very needful, because when you serve the Lord in the world is a dangerous, deadly place. The world's philosophy is to lure you away from Christ. The world's seduction is to lure you more and more to become more like the evil one than to be like Christ. And that's why it is so dangerous. When you arrive in heaven, it will be joy serving the Lord. No problem, no danger. But while you are on earth, remember, Satan cannot take away your salvation, but he can take away your testimony. And when you forget that your life is a life of service and the Lord's Day is a day of rest, you will become a casualty in no time. And Satan will laugh at you, and he will be very happy when you call yourself a Christian and you are a bad testimony for Christ. That is the biggest, best weapon to hinder the work of Christ when professing believers, people who are truly born again, become bad testimonies. They do very good work for Satan versus unbelievers out there. The damage they do is minimal compared to the damage that genuine believers can do when they do not know God's word, when they are deceived by the evil one. So don't let him succeed. The manner in which you keep the Sabbath day holy is very, very important. The Sabbath day to be rejected, legalism. The Sabbath day to be observed is a day of rest, a reminder to all of us that we are spiritual people on our way to heaven. And finally, verse 27, 28 of Mark chapter 2. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. You know what that means? God made man first. And then God knows man after the fall. How man needs to remind him of his eternal well-being. And that's why the Sabbath is made for us to enjoy. Please. Because in heaven, you just ask yourself one question. What is the activity that I do on earth that I will continue to do in heaven? Not going to work. Not doing engineering, doctoring, dentistry, or whatever it is that you do. Nobody will have bad teeth in heaven, right? Nobody will fall sick, no heart attack in heaven. Nobody will have brain problem, right? So whatever skill you have, we don't need computer in heaven also, right? So whatever you do on earth that may take away 8, 9, 10 hours a day of your week, it will all come to a standstill. But the only activity that you do on earth that you will continue to do in heaven would be the gathering of the saints and worship. Isn't that true? So the Lord's Day is the only activity on earth every week that you will continue to do in heaven. And therefore, if you don't like to worship, you die. Because every day in heaven, that's all you're going to do. That's all you're going to do. Of course, God may give you a better voice, you can sing better, and so on and so forth. But you better enjoy it now with God's people, because that's what you're going to do forever. And if you can't stand coming to church, I don't know where God will send you, you know, because I don't think you want to go to hell, right? Because heaven is like this, you know, gathering of his saints, where we're going to praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and keep on praising the Lord, because it is such a happy and wonderful place. And that's what the Lord's Day must be to us. And that's why God has designed the Sabbath day for us. It is a day to be enjoyed. It is not a day, ayya, I've got to come to church, mommy, ayya, I don't want to. You know why? Because Monday to Saturday, you have not been serving the Lord. That's why. If you have been serving the Lord, testifying for the Lord, witnessing for the Lord, you will be so happy to be with God's people. Because with God's people, you are with family. You are home. Out in the world, it is a battlefield. But in the church, it is not a battlefield. It is home. This is what it is. That's why the Sabbath day, it is like the home in heaven that God has now placed on earth for us. And that's why the Sabbath is made for us to be enjoyed. And therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And this is the Lord who said it. He's the Lord of the Sabbath, and he has now given us the prescription. Which one do you want to listen? The legalism or the proper biblical observance of the Sabbath day that God wants us to enjoy? It is very hard to enjoy each other's company when we are not enjoying our company with the Lord, isn't it? When you are not right with God, it is very hard to be right with people. And it is very hard to be right with God when you do not serve him from Monday to Saturday, when you are serving money, when you're serving self, when you're serving pride and the accolades of the world. But when you serve the Lord, you long to be with God's people. It is a blessed, the best day of every week of your life. The Sabbath is made for you. By God, the Lord of the Sabbath says so. Love it, enjoy it. It is a stark reminder that this world is not my home. I'm going home one day. The Sabbath day rest depends on salvation rest. It reminds us of eternal rest. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for salvation so rich and so free that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, as we continue to trust in You, to look to You, knowing that this life that You have saved is already suitable for the heavenly environment, and yet You allow us to remain on earth to serve You, that our lives may bring blessing to other believers and be a blessing to sinners who need the gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we have failed Thee and sinned against Thee, O Lord, forgive us. And as we prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper, we pray, Father, that the word of everlasting life will sanctify us, that our hearts and our minds may focus on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how great a sacrifice that He has paid in order to redeem us of all our sins and our transgressions, and how this life is no longer our life to live any way we like, but must be a life to be lived to the praise and glory of Thy holy name, serving Thee with joy and with gladness, and coming to the Lord's house every Lord's day, worshipping with God's people as a foretaste of our eternal rest that awaits us one blessed day, and may that blessed day be soon. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and hear our cry for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.